Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Good day, Mark. How are you?
Good. I'm good. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. Okay, the listeners who have been writing in with comments and suggestions, we'll occasionally bring those and talk about them in the podcast. But just if you've got something, please write to us at poems, poems.ebm@gmail.com. That's poems.ebm@gmail.com. This week we're going to look at bone mineral density. Osteoporosis is a common disease. It's characterized by low bone mass, architectural disruption, skeletal fragility, all of this resulting in an increased risk of fracture. As is always the case, the goal of screening is to identify people at increased risk, but you know, it isn't enough to identify them at increased risk. There needs to be something that we can do to benefit them from an intervention to minimize that risk. So screening for risk fracture is complicated, but, you know, it involves taking an appropriate history, doing a physical exam, looking at standard biochemical and hematologic studies, and perhaps measurement of bone mineral density. The clinical history, when we talk to these patients, we need to ask about secondary causes of bone loss, use of medicines, perhaps with adverse effects on bone health, and a family history of osteoporosis. So the widespread use to bone mineral density screening has not been universally adapted. In part, this is due to cost and questions regarding the efficacy of a broad population-based screening policy. I don't quite understand why things like this haven't caught on when other things like PSA and using CA125 for ovarian cancer, both of which have been questioned, have caught on like wildfire. Nonetheless, Mark is going to talk us through an abstract or a study that was published in the New England Journal of Medicine. It attempts to answer the question, what is the best interval for repeat bone mineral density testing in older women?
Yeah, this was a really nice study. The senior author, Dr. Margaret Gourlay, is a family physician at UNC, I love this kind of study where it really is very clinically useful stuff that we can take right into our practice. So they have a large study, a database. They had over 9,700 women who were 65 years and older from four states. 99% were white, so that is a limitation in terms of extrapolating to other populations. And a lot of them, almost 5,000, had either normal bone mineral density or osteopenia and no history of a fracture. So that's the group they were looking at. These were women who had normal density or osteopenia, no history of fracture, and therefore no reason to put them on a drug at this point. So that's who they studied. The goal of the research was to see how long it took before 10% of the women progressed from normal BMD or osteopenia to osteoporosis, but before they had a fracture. So this is who you'd like to capture. You know, this is, you know, that would be someone you would put on a drug. So they looked at bone density and measured at the femoral neck and the total hip density, and then they divided them into normal, mild, moderate, and advanced osteopenia. And what they found was basically anyone with normal bone density or mild osteopenia, so a T-score of less than greater than negative 1.5, it would take 15 years so that at least 10% of them would progress into this higher risk group and need treatment. So they said, hey, if you have mild osteopenia or normal BMD, when you have that initial 65-year-old BMD, you can wait 15 years, and in many cases, that means forever. And for women with moderate osteopenia, so that's a T-score between negative 1.5 and negative 2, they said recheck it in about 5 years. And for those with severe osteopenia, so they're negative 2 to negative 2.5, only wait a year. And so it really provides a nice, useful risk stratification. Bottom line is the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force says that women should have an initial test at age 65 or earlier if their 10-year risk of fracture exceeds 9 or 10%. And you can get that by using the FRAX tool, F-R-A-X. And so you do that initial test. Now you can put them into a group where if they're normal or mild, you can wait 15 years and probably never do it again. If it's moderate, wait 5 years to repeat it. If it's advanced, you've got to follow them a lot more closely.
Great. Very interesting. So you've got this sort of 1, 5, and 15-year follow-up, depending on the person's risk. That FRAX scale, do you find that just on the web?
Yeah, just Google FRAX, FRAX, as first thing that comes up. It's an online interactive tool. They have versions that use bone density, and they have versions that just use symptoms. And they're also pretty specific for different racial and ethnic groups, different countries. So it's a huge database that they've used to develop
these
risk scores.
Excellent. Before we close, just a quick question about my opening comment in terms of Malcolm Gladwell and stickiness. And why is it that we're not being more aggressive about bone mineral density screening?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, there's the conspiracy theorist in me says, you know, who profits and where are the incentives? My sister's an economist, and so I've learned to ask these questions. So clearly urologists benefit a lot from aggressive PSA screening. At the same time, that's not the only story. A lot of women don't tolerate the bisphosphonates very well, don't like taking them, stop taking them after within a year. The percentage of women that continue to take bisphosphonates for more than a year is relatively low. So maybe women just talk and say, hey, you wouldn't want to take those drugs anyway. It's always interesting to me why some things get adopted really quickly. Like, remember the COX-2 inhibitors, and within months, everyone was prescribing Vioxx and Celebrex for everything. And they were immediately adopted really quickly. And yet, other things were very slow to adopt.
Yeah, very interesting. There's a guy named Everett Rogers who wrote a book probably 20 or 30 years ago, looking at the agricultural industry. He sort of predated by several decades, Gladwell, called The Diffusion of Innovations. And he looked at the same thing in the agricultural business and farmers and how some things that were really very clearly beneficial never really caught on, and other things that had only slight advantage whipped through the agricultural community like wildfire. But anyways, Mark...
vitamin D. Just one last quick point, and vitamin D testing. With how many people were ordering vitamin D tests on all their patients at physicals 5 years ago? Almost none. Now everyone's getting. We still don't know if there's any real reason to do it, if it's useful. I'm very skeptical of it. I think they're very expensive. We end up monitoring these vitamin D levels. We're spending thousands of dollars, and the benefit other than bone is highly questionable. And really, we're looking at associations primarily, not causality. But that spread like wildfire, and I can't find anybody profiting from that. I think that just sort of took off. I don't know. Great area for research.
Mark, thanks. Good discussion. We'll talk with you again next week.
All right. See you then.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.